This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Hello, hello. G'day, Beachy. Ew. Hello, Master of None. Welcome.
Master of None.
Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast on truthmeets.com. What are we today? Mayday, Mayday. 1st of May, 2026. And you guys, it's the 30th of April. We are floating back and forth into the future and the past.
we're time traveling.
We are time traveling. Well, I always feel like we always time travel when we're on the chat, aren't we? Yeah. So it's been a long time. I know a lot of people have been wondering, where have you guys been? Or probably not. It doesn't. Who knows? But we are here. I am back. Beachy, you've had a few shows with your own one, but Coast to Coast had a bit of a hiatus. Yes, but we are back to talk more health, considering that we've had a few health in inverted commas issues, especially with myself. And but we're getting there, and let's see where we're going today in regards to more things that we can do in regards to being healthy, getting healthy, doing things without medication, I suppose, in regards to the whole medical system, because we know that nature can heal us in so many ways, shape, and I definitely know that. I know that's been a big help for me. So, Beachy. I'll hand it over to you.
Okay. I'd like just to start and welcome Master of None to our trio here. We're going to talk about some health tips, which things that you probably never considered before, but there seems to be a slew of information these days coming through about different alternative health and, of course, healing ourselves without the help of modern medicine. So these are probably old things that people knew about back in the day, but somehow it got lost in our modern system. But anyway, so we're going to start off. The first one is very basic. It's breathing. And I've talked about this before, I believe, in my show about how important breathing is. Just taking a breath, a big, deep breath. And this particular, it's like another avenue here, says, I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, you take approximately 20,000 breaths per day. And almost every single one of them is destroying your health. In 2020, journalist James Nestor published the results of a Stanford University experiment that should have made global headlines. Researchers block the nasal passages of healthy volunteers and force them to breathe exclusively through their mouths for 10 days. Just 10 days. And I'm sure you all remember the our masking fun back in the 2020 time frame.
That wasn't fun at all.
So, just think about that for a second. So the results were catastrophic. Blood pressure spiked, heart rate variability collapsed, blood oxygen dropped, snoring appeared within 24 hours, sleep apnea developed within 3 days, stress hormone surge, cognitive performance declined, and in 10 days, perfectly healthy people develop the biomarkers of a chronic disease. Now, again, going back to our masking days, we were not necessarily, behind the mask, you could still use your nose, but just think of all those people who, they had their masks so tight that they probably only breathed through their mouth.
Yeah. It doesn't seem very healthy. I mean, I'm seeing it now at the moment too. People driving with masks on. I don't even know how that's even possible, how you can even gauge what's going on in front of you. I know anything that's blocking that area of your face is not good at all. Certainly with the health issues. So obviously, you know, we need both the mouth and the nose, Beachy. Is that right? Rather than just the mouth. Yeah. What was the?
Well, here we go. Okay, you're right.
All right.
But I just wanted to hail back to remind everyone about how harmful it was that what we went through. But anyway, so here we go. So it says your nose is not just an air filter. It's a pharmaceutical lab. When you breathe through your nose, the paranasal sinuses produce nitric oxide, a molecule that dilates blood vessels, kills bacteria and viruses on contact, increases oxygen absorption in the lungs by 10 to 15%, and regulates blood pressure. Mouth breathing bypasses all of it. In 1995, Dr. John Lundberg at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden measured nitric oxide output during nasal breathing and found levels high enough to sterilize incoming air. Your nose produces its own antibacterial gas with every single breath, but only if you use it. Here's the part no one talks about. 60% of adults are chronic mouth breathers, but most do not know it. They breathe through their mouths while sleeping, while working, while staring at screens. Their jaws have narrowed from generations of soft processed food, reducing nasal airway space. Their tongues rest at the bottom of their mouths instead of pressed against the palate where it belongs. There's a little bit more, but any comments?
Yeah, so with your tongue pressed, well, it's pressed up, right? So which means it's definitive, like it will define your jawline and everything as well. But I'm guessing, but the whole breathing thing is, they always tell you to breathe, right? The whole oxygen you need is, they always tell you to inhale from your nose and exhale from your mouth.
Right. After the break.
Tooth Needs is supported by Wizena donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
We're back. Truthmeets.com, coast to coast. Beachy, master of none, and Verilicious here. We're talking about breathing at the moment. And it is interesting, though, because I don't think we are aware that we are breathing from our mouths mostly and not through our noses. Is it interesting? Right.
Well, I would like to add that typically when you're stressed, that's when you breathe through your mouth. And rapid breathing, which is, you know, not, it's like hyperventilating basically, but
yeah, it's like panting. You
know, right. Panting. So that is probably the reason, because we're all so stressed. We're always rush, always, you know, fear, you know, it just seems like we're, you know, led to this place, right? Like they knew about this, and here's a good way to hijack that process for us all. Master of None, what do you think about this? You have any comments? Is she there? Anyway.
Took me a minute to get to the screen. Yes. I have known that to be true, and people that have low nitric oxide are more likely to have a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they give nitric acid as a supplement. I don't know if it's considered a supplement, but to open up blood vessels and oxygenate your body, like your extremities and everything. And there's a huge kind of new understanding of it now. I get a lot of notifications in my feed about all the different new nitric oxide products you can buy.
Interesting. See, I was not aware of this. So it's pretty widespread, it seems. So let me just read the rest of this now. That what they also talk about, ancient human skulls show wide jaws, broad palates, and perfectly straight teeth. No braces needed, no wisdom teeth removed, no sleep apnea, no snoring, because they chewed hard food for hours every day and breathed exclusively through their noses. So, and our modern humans have the narrowest jaws, the most crowded teeth, and the worst breathing patterns of any generation. I don't know how they know that, but in 300,000 years of human history, unless they're just going by the jaws, you know. Okay, so, and here is like the conspiracy theory portion where it says they did not give you a disease. They changed the shape of your face. They softened your food. They opened your mouth, and your body's been suffocating in plain sight ever since. And so what they recommend is you close your mouth, breathe through your nose, and the pharmacy is free. It has been built into your face since the day you were born.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because just talking about pets as well, I remember when we first got our dog, the breeder was saying that he needs to have food that he can use his teeth, like crunch, because mm-hmm. it will change the shape of his head, and it will develop the way his head is, you know, and the shape of his jaw, the shape of his head, and all that sort of stuff. And it's interesting that they say about softening our food, because I remember as a child, my mother would give us like carrots and apples and just full things to be able to eat, you know, not just soft, mushy baby food or mush whatever food it is, and then you get fed it, right? So mm-hmm. there is obviously some developmental things going on there, and including like your teeth. Like we had such good teeth. I don't know, for me, I haven't had any problems as an adult. I mean, as you know, children, you would get their fillings and all sorts of stuff, and then when those teeth fell out, you had adult teeth, and then it was a matter of taking care of your teeth. But yeah, but I have noticed there's been a lot of problems. People have a lot of problems with jaws, with the way their teeth are growing at the moment. I mean, even through our, it's interesting that through our superannuation, you can actually ask to have your teeth fixed and paid for through your superannuation. That's a weird thing. I was just like, why would they do that? Like, that's just weird. Why not any other health issue? Why would it just only be your teeth? So there's obviously something there.
Well, for the Americans out there, superannuation is your 401k, so your retirement money.
Yeah, that's correct. Your retirement money.
Well, a few things come to mind, if I might add.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It won't be in any particular order, but all these things are connected. So the Weston A. Price Foundation, and there are a few problems with their research, apparently, in later years as they've gone back and looked. But the Weston A. Price Foundation was built on the research of the dentist Weston A. Price, who went to Aboriginal type cultures and found that they had the most amazing teeth and strong jaws and straight teeth, and actually all had their wisdom teeth. And, you know, the United States likes to overdo everything. And so they'll pull wisdom teeth so that they can straighten your teeth, because modern jaws are too small to accommodate your full mouth of teeth. And that, of course, sets off the whole chain reaction of what you're talking about with the nitric oxide. But we also have higher incidences of asthma because of that, because it disorders your breathing and the shape of your jaw and all of that does that as well. And sleep apnea is caused by weak muscles in your throat and, you know, a bunch of things, not just weight. People think it's just because of excess weight, but it's actually because so much of your like maxillofacial area is weakened. And well, so,
yeah,
I think we set off this whole chain of events because
it's well, for a whole bunch like it was planned.
Yes.
Well, I agree. I was just going to say that was going to be my comment was about the Weston A. Price diet that they encourage. And that is, you know, just fresh foods, meats and, you know, just whole foods, not any process that's, you know, been mushed up and repackaged or whatever. You know, you would think it was more about just the nutrition and the quality of the food, but obviously there is that component of chewing and exercising your jaw and of course the other ultimate thing is when you chew your food, it aids in your digestion because if you're just throwing food back, it's kind of making your system just overwhelmed, you know, quickly. Whereas if you eat slower and masticate and I guess it's, you know, it's a way of processing your food, I guess you could say. So it's not just automatically, you know, there's this whole process that, what's her name? Barbara. God, I can't think of her last name, but she's New Zealander. Barbara O'Neill. About digestion and how your body picks up all the nutrition. And it's just a whole process. And we kind of destroy it by eating too quickly and not chewing our food enough. I don't know. It seems like you said, yeah, it's very planned. It's like somebody knew they were setting us up for lots of dental work. Money producing as well as medical issues down the line. Like, you know.
So profits. If I could add one more thing.
Sure.
There was a Substack article that was written about nitric oxide in particular, and it was so cool because they went into all these different areas. But one of the things that somebody noticed was that all of these actors and actresses and singers, celebrities, who got veneers and now all have the exact same looking teeth and smile, die early. In fact, they die of like dementia or Parkinson's, neurological stuff. And they were saying that it's not the chemicals, but it is actually the change of your structure of your jaw. And it sets off this whole chain of events that actually causes neurological problems. And there was a guy, and I don't right now remember his name, but he talked about how your mouth was a fuse box and every tooth, as they know from Chinese medicine and everything, corresponds to different organs and processes and stuff like that.
Right.
And that when you replace teeth or pull teeth or do, what do they call them? Where they take out the
Root canals.
Root canals, yes. That a root canal is like the worst thing you can do because, first of all, the infection never goes away. Your body just kind of keeps it sub-noticeable. But that it can start to inhibit organs and processes because your fuse box is not fully on. But the celebrity thing was interesting because it's very obvious. So people like Bruce Willis and I can't remember the others, but there were just like a whole bunch that, you know, within 5 or 10 years, they had the obvious onset of neurological problems.
Wow, that's pretty serious. I mean,
it's interesting.
I think the there was one other thing. Yeah, well, the whole thing, everything is connected, it seems, because, you know, like Chinese medicine, they tell you about, you know, obviously what you just said about your teeth are connected to other processes and organs in your body. And also the feet are also, I've seen diagrams recently of all the different organs are connected to various spots on your feet. And so, you know, when people get, you know, the Chinese are very big on foot massages, and they, you know, have obviously knowledge about all this. And I've heard people, though, say, you know, when they get their feet massaged in this manner, it feels like they had a workout, you know, like they, you know, did an hour of in the gym. So it's doing something, obviously. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so it's interesting, though. It is interesting, though, because it makes me question, like, my own health, right? Thinking that I'm relatively healthy, I'm doing all the right things, but what about all the things that happened, you know, prior? So, like, I've had my wisdom teeth taken out. You know, I haven't had any other dental work done. But, you know, just the smallest thing like that can change you, you know, and having, I know that nitrates are good for you. I know one of the latest things that happened to me was I had to be put on a machine where they were checking my heart. They were checking all my vascular system, my arteries, you know, everything like that. And it's just like they can't find anything actually wrong with you or the causes of what's happening to you. But for some reason, and who knows how, it's affected, you know, the neurological system and then the breakdowns of things in you that you would you know, you just can't take it for granted that you, everything's going to be okay and you're going to be perfectly fine and you're just going to, you know, things are going to happen with old age. But obviously there's been a setup from the time you're born to whatever time it is.
Well,
that these issues are going to come and affect you at some stage.
I think even that is a setup that, okay, when you get old, you're going to have all these problems because, you know, there's people that say all the, you know, from the olden times or whatever, people were doing everything and anything all the way up to their, you know, the day they die. Like, you know, if you're in the farm and you're working out in the fields, you know, people didn't stop because they turned 65 or whatever it is, the retirement ages. They just kept on doing whatever it is they did. And I think we are, again, there's you know, they're saying that the sitting, too much looking at the computer, the TV, whatever, your cell phone, all these things, all these modern things that we, you know, have been, technology has afforded us in terms of, well, it's like the robot's going to do it, right? And we don't have to do all the things that we used to do. And it kind of, I think, has not so good effects ultimately. And that's going to lead us into the next topic, which is about posture. If we've, unless there's any more comments about the breathing and what we just discussed. Anybody?
No, I think we're good. Everybody take a breath of fresh air. You'll be right.
That's what I was going to say. Let's all breathe in through our nose. Big breath in through our nose.
And a big exhale through the mouth.
Yes. Well, yes, and in my other shows, there's like you count when you inhale, you count to 6, and when you exhale, you count to 11. And I don't know, I'm not sure what that does, but I think it basically just makes you stop and, you know, readjust, or, you know, if you're like, especially if you're like stressed or you're, you know, in the heat of a problem and you're just getting frustrated, whatever, you just stop yourself and.
It's a reset.
A reset.
It's a reset. Yeah. And it also lowers your blood pressure. I tested
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yes.
With a blood pressure monitor, wearing one, and tested that. So you just do your breathing. And so just the breaks in between before your pressure gets tested, you do the breathing exercises, and then the thing goes off again, and then you just watch it. And then you see how much your blood pressure lowers. So there's obviously something there when it comes to these type of breathing exercises and what they're good for.
Yeah, I would say so. Okay, and of course, there is also one last thing, which is probably way off in another podcast, but breathing in air or whatever it is that's out there, it's, you know, in the Bible, you know, your breath is your spirit, right? And I say it's energy. I've heard, you know, people who are very into, you know, the concept of the sun and the ether and the energy in the air, we're probably breathing in some sort of energy that, you know, keeps us alive, obviously, because, you know, we have to breathe to be alive. So that's again, breathing is extremely important. So I would say that, I think we should take heed on that and try to pay attention to our breathing more. Okay, so next, again, I said, is about posture. Standing up straight, we always were told to, you know, stand up straight and whatever. This is saying the position of, you know, everybody's looking at their cell phone. Your head is tilted forward, and that is not a good position. It's crushing your spine with 27 kilograms of force. Your head weighs approximately 5 kilograms. When it sits directly above your spine, your neck carries exactly that, 5 kilograms normal.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Keep going, Beachy. So we have pressure in our head. No.
Okay, so
our head must weigh a ton.
Yes, your head is very heavy. Okay, so review. Your head weighs approximately 5 kilograms, and when it sits directly above your spine, your neck carries exactly that, 5 kilograms normal, effortless, the way it was designed. Now, when you tilt your head forward, say when you're looking at your phone, and everybody's constantly looking at their phone these days, the effective weight on your cervical spine jumps to 12 kilograms. So at 30 degrees, it becomes 18 kilograms, and at 45 degrees, 22 kilograms. The angle which most people hold their phone at 60 degrees, it's your neck is carrying 27 kilograms. The weight of a 7-year-old child hanging from your spine for however long every day you're staring at that phone. So this was published in 2014 by Dr. Kenneth Hansraj, Chief of Spine Surgery at New York Spine Surgery and Rehabilitation Medicine. The study calculated the exact forces and published them in Surgical Technology International. It was not disputed, but have you ever heard of that? Has anybody ever told you that? It kind of got buried and nobody hears about it. So if the average person spends 4 hours a day looking at their phone, teenagers spend seven. That's 1,400 to 2,500 hours per year of this 27 kilograms crushing the cervical vertebrae that protects the most critical nerve pathways in your entire body. Your cervical spine is not just holding your head, it houses the brain stem, the structure that controls your breathing, your heart rate and your blood pressure, your digestion and your sleep cycles. Every signal between your brain and your body passes through these vertebrae, every single one. Compressing them, and this, when you compress them, the signals weaken. Not dramatically, not enough for an MRI to flag, just enough to reduce the nerve connectivity by 5 to 10 or 15%. Enough to make you tired for no reason, enough to give you headaches that have no diagnosis, enough to make your digestion slow, your sleep shallow, your anxiety constant, and your focus destroyed. Comments.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Like what's designed, the things that are designed to actually make us sick. And we don't even know it in that sense. I remember, you know, in school the teachers used to say, sit up straight and don't put your heads on your hands. Are you holding up your head with your hands, you know? When I was younger, we don't have it so much now, but we used to have the deportment where the girls used to have to walk, stand straight and sit a certain way. So posture was always huge. When I used to do training, weight training and that, always it's the posture, no slouching. And once again, you know, all the scans that I had in the last 3 months for all my health has been, that was one of the scans that I had done, you know, was from the base of my neck all the way down my back. And that's to see how everything was aligning. I had physicals and all that. So, you know, for me, I have to say that my posture is pretty good, considering all the training that I've done. And I also am aware of when I slouch. And then a good exercise to have is if you've got like a stick, can be like a broomstick or something, you can always loop it in your arms and that will help straighten your back as well. So, yeah, there's just some like basic exercises. I mean, we all have internet these days. We can all jump on our phones and have a look through YouTube and something like that. And there's always something that'll, you know, an exercise, whether it's 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be anything strenuous. It's just something basic that will just correct your posture.
Right. I've discovered, they call them somatic exercises, and they've been around since the early 1900s. The guy who developed them or discovered them, whatever, and he also explains this as well in the book, where it, even though, you know, they're very basic, alignment exercises, but you have to be aware too, like what you said, you can tell when you're slouching, you have to figure out what, you know, like look at yourself in the mirror and see, okay, I'm straight, and recognize what that feels like, because a lot of people don't feel comfortable unless they're slouching because they've been doing it for so long, it becomes habit. And he also attributes a lot of these illnesses to posture as you get older, that you won't get a lot of these quote unquote old people issues if you make sure your posture is in line. And so again, you can see it all around you. You know, you see all these people who are walking in a, just the way you walk, you know, your gait, if you have some side that you're favoring due to an, you know, a injury or whatever, and then it becomes habit, and then you never correct it after the injury has been recovered. we just fall into these habits. And so, like, if you look at people and watch how they're walking, sometimes you can tell their gait is just off. So I think it's hugely important, but who knew that, like I said, this man in the book, he describes all these chronic diseases that people have, and yet nobody ever tells them, maybe you should focus on getting your posture in line. And there are doctors or, practitioners who will do that for you, but, nobody tells you to do that. It's like it's like the best kept secret. So, and here, as we go on, unless there's any other comments before I move on.
Regarding the cell phone, something that I've always thought of, first of all, that is, oh my gosh, that statistic is just about the weight of the head and for how many hours. Oh my God. That is really a jarring good thing to know. But when I think about how the cell phone is designed, this is something that has been in its existence in this form for 25 years now. And it's so funny to me how non ergonomically it's designed. It's like a complete square that doesn't fit the human form hand at all. You have to hold your hand in an unnatural position. It's flat and square instead of being like curved. Like, it really should be kind of hourglass shaped or something so that it's just easier to hang on to.
Right.
And I think that's accidental either.
Just causing one thing after another. So if you're not going to have a neck problem, you're going to have a hand problem, people talk about the carpal tunnel thing and all these other issues that you have because your wrist is at a certain angle and things like that. And there's just things that we don't even think about because, it's trying to fit the square peg in the round hole sort of thing. It's crazy.
Exactly. And it's not even just with the cell phone because, they were finding this back in the 90s when I was on my computer all day long at work. And they had ergonomic, people come and like make sure that, your computer screen was right at eye level so you didn't have to look down or up or too high, you're just so that it wouldn't, get your neck out of alignment. But I don't know. I don't know that many people who have that at their home, if you're watching TV or you're playing games or even, working on your computer, if you're at home worker, nobody's coming around to make sure that you're you're ergonomically correct in your chair and your desk height and all that stuff. So it's probably even, further back before the cell phones that this issue has been building. And if you think about it, I remember probably a good 20 years ago, like you said, even when the phones were first starting to come out, it just seemed like a lot of people I knew had back issues. And, it's like all these people, were having, problems with their back. It's like we're not farm workers, we're not, carrying heavy loads. Why do so many people have back issues? And it kind of sounds like this is the reason, lo and behold.
Yeah, and it's funny, Beachy, that you're saying, it's like we're not actually doing any hard work, physical work, it's just basically sitting down. Like, how crazy is that? Who thought that sitting down would be one of the things that's going to cause you major health issues?
Well, and this, there is a guy on YouTube or, when you're watching videos on Rumble or, whatever the choice of your social media, and they have commercials, and there is this doctor who comes on and says, oh, sitting is the worst thing you could do, and they blame it on just sitting, which I don't think it's obviously it's probably not. This is just another distraction from the real issue, really, is probably the posture is all wrong. And because you could be, you know, standing up and looking at your computer screen just as, and screw up your posture just as much as sitting, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't take much either.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like you said, even if you're, you got an injury on one side and you throw your balance off for a time, and then, you know, after a while, or if you never get it taken care of and you just automatically are adjusting for the, you know, you're a limp or whatever, you're going to be off. You're going to totally be off for until you recognize it and get it back on track.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know why we don't see these things. I mean, we always see it as a bit, oh, it's like, look at that person who's hunched right over, you know. And that's another thing is, like, as you get older, why do we hunch over like that, you know? And then one of the big things, like, I don't want to be like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, why is he a hunchback, you know?
Right. And what do we say? That's just what happens when you get old. It's like, no.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I don't think it is part of just as you get old, because there's a lot of older people, especially in their 80s and 90s, that are fit. You know, they age. They know that they're aging, but they take care of themselves and they're looking out for these certain things so that they're not being affected by these everyday things. You know, and it doesn't take a lot either. It's not like you have to do weights or you have to run or you have to. It could be just as basic as some of the exercises you can do in a chair,
even if you're not looking at your computer. I mean, just think about all the things that you do while you're sitting down. I mean, you could be like painting, writing, creating, you know, sewing. You could be a laboratory, you know, doctor who's looking in a microscope all day. I mean, there's just any number of activities that and it's just no one calls these things to your attention. You know, we have no there's no information on that. We're, you know, just floating along. We think we're doing everything right, but we have new information and now we have to adjust. But I just think it's interesting, like, you know, Master of None said that our cell phones are just so designed in such a way that, you know, it just adds more calamity to our lives as if we didn't have enough. Any other comments? Okay. So to continue again on this, so, like you said, you know, when you go to the doctor, it says doctors will call it stress. They will call it depression. They'll call it anxiety disorder. They will call it IBS. And what will they do? Prescribe you antidepressant, sleeping pills, acid reflux medication, and never once will they look at the angle of your neck. Right now, 80% of the people are doing whatever it is they're doing with their head tilted forward and compressing the command center of your entire nervous system for years. And every unexplained symptom you have, the fatigue, the brain fog, the tension, insomnia, can be traced back to this. So everybody lift your head right now. Hold your phone at eye level or whatever you're looking at and feel the difference in your neck. And you'll just probably focus on that a little bit and you can tell the difference right away, because I know I do.
Yeah, it certainly does make a big difference when you have it at eye level as opposed to just looking down all the time.
Yeah, and if you know what it feels like to be at the correct posture, again, like I didn't know You know, I kind of have had a career, like you said, of sitting in front of my desk and being on the computer. And I, you know, had a bit of a tilt forward, and I'm still working on that with my somatic exercises, because they, like I said, you have to kind of get yourself feeling comfortable in that position, because it feels weird after you've been doing it for, you know, so many years of pitching forward. It kind of feels like it feels unnatural, you know? So you have to kind of train yourself to go back and remind yourself to do these things, just like reminding yourself to breathe properly and, you know, walking straight. And it's just interesting. I just think it's very interesting, all the stuff that we could have learned in school, and it's not there. So anyway, there you go. The cure for half your symptoms could be in your posture. There's another thing to look at when you're having issues and the doctor can't seem to find anything wrong with you. That's sometimes a lot. Okay. Next, we're moving on. Here's a biggie. Now, this one is going to probably blow your mind. Again, another thing we've never heard. So it says your saliva contains a painkiller stronger than morphine. It was discovered in 2006. You were never told. Researchers at the Pasteur Institute in Paris isolated a molecule in human saliva called opiorphin. They tested it against morphine in laboratory conditions, and opiorphin was 6 times more potent, milligram for milligram. Published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Your mouth produces a drug more powerful than anything sold in a pharmacy every single day for free. What do you think about that?
Wow. And I would love to hear more about, like, when is it released and why and how and
okay,
all of that.
Well,
I've never heard that.
It's crazy, but just think about this. After the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Okay, we're back and we're talking about saliva, but think about this. Every time when you cut your finger, what do you naturally do? Anybody?
You lick it. Or you kiss it, your child.
You put it in your mouth. You suck on it or you lick it. Right? And that's kind of a natural instinct. You know, maybe that's just some learned behavior from our ancestors. You know, that's the first thing you do. But anyway, so it says opiorphin works by blocking the enzymes that destroy your body's natural painkillers, enkephalins. Instead of flooding your system with a synthetic chemical, it simply stops your body from breaking down the medicine it already made. It lets your own biology do the work. No addiction, no tolerance buildup, no liver damage, no withdrawal, no side effects, because it's not a foreign substance to you. So you've heard of the painkiller called opioid, and apparently, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about the horrific people have abused it because they overdose on it, and it's very addictive. And, you know, there's just been widespread overdose, you know, just a big, huge problem. And they discovered about this non-addictive painkiller produced by every human being on the planet. They published it, then they never mentioned again. No development, no clinical trials, no public education campaign, nothing. Your body is a pharmacy. And the only reason you don't know is because no one profits when you heal yourself. So,
well, the pharmaceutical companies are probably working on it right now.
Well, they should be. And I think I saw something recently that they are being sued for the opioid issue because there was so many. Oh, there was just a huge, huge problem with it. And I do remember when I was seeing my orthopedic surgeon, when I broke my ankle, he told me, I'm going to prescribe you opioids because I have to, because we all have to. It's basically what he said, you know, that's required. They were required to prescribe them. And that is why they became such a huge issue, is that the drug companies were flooding the market with them. And that was the only thing that they could prescribe at one point. And then everybody became addicted to them. So then they sold more because, you know, obviously they needed more money. So,
well, I just heard about that case in detail, and mm-hmm. It was, I believe, a couple from Canada who owned the company, and it was proven that they knew that the doctors were being given the wrong information, and that they knew that it was causing all of these problems, and they actually did the math, supposedly, that's what they said, that they determined that it would be cheaper to continue to do that and earn profits. And if they got paid, pay whatever penalty, which they did, rather than not doing it.
So it's more profitable, yeah, to keep it going.
Yes. They paled in comparison to the profits.
Well, there you go. It's like it's planned. We keep hitting up on that. It's like these people know what they're doing, and it's okay. As long as they're getting their pockets stuffed, it's all good.
The addiction thing is huge as well. Mm-hmm. Talk about having a workout. Sorry, I just had to do a bit of a workout. just with that, like, just your saliva, like if you get like a mosquito bite or anything like that and you don't have anything on you to put on that mosquito bite, I used to actually use my own spit, right? I know it sounds disgusting, but it actually works. And another thing that actually works as well is ice. If you had a block of ice, anything that's cold to put on something like that, because it's an inflammation, that works as well. Instead of reaching for like a something that's from the chemist or from, you know, something that's pharmaceutical, always try something more natural. And you'll probably find that actually works, unless you are full of chemicals anyway and your body is so used to all those chemicals that it doesn't know anything different. So, and that's another thing. I think with the addictions, that with the prescription, all these prescription medication and all this sort of stuff, some of it may be synthesized from natural products. And naturally, like, you can't really get addicted to it, but they do it in such a way where when they do synthesize it and they do it that way, it's something for profit for them. So keeping you sick is basically a business.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, and also it brings to mind when you were talking about, because like, what is it when you get a sting and they tell you, has someone pee on you? Like the urine is antiseptic. for it.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge for anything fungal. We used to laugh about that with your feet. You know, if you get athlete's foot and all that kind of stuff, it's like pee in your feet. You know, that'll fix it,
okay.
Sort of thing. Yeah. And I mean, there must be some benefits because I don't know if you've heard, but Cleopatra used to bath not only in milk, but in baby's wee. So it's like, that sounds disgusting, but obviously there's something there, right?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, all those statues of cherubs or babies urinating in fountains?
Yeah.
That, why? Because it's the urea.
That's the fountain of youth.
Yeah, well, and that, and it's the urea and the urine that they use in so many medicines. And it's just the ancients showing that that is medicinal. That's why they have all the Italian statues of children urinating in fountains. It's to show that that's healthy.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. Like anything that we think is, look, it's disgusting or it's art or this and that, there's got to be some purpose behind it. Lately, when we were talking about urea, given the fact of what's been happening with the whole petrol thing around the world, you know, the farmers here in Australia need that. And I said, well, you know what? Everybody's going to have to start peeing in the garden. That's the only way we're going to start growing anything, you know, and people laugh. They're like, what? It's like, yeah, it's a natural product. Like, we produce it ourselves. I mean, you know, when the whole lemon tree thing, you know, the old Italians, they used to like pee under the lemon tree and they'd have these massive, big, beautiful lemons that would grow and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yep, that's all they did. They didn't go down to Bunnings or down to the, you know, to go and get the urea.
I'm going to try that with my lemon tree.
Yeah, just take a pee under your lemon tree and see what kind of, you know, see how good your lemons turn out, Beachy.
Interesting.
But, yeah, look, there's so many things out there. I know sometimes it sounds way out, but so many natural things that are so beneficial that we've never really looked at it because I think we've gotten so used to society and the way we've grown up, where everything's so fast paced, we're distracted all the time. You know, we don't really think about our health. And when we do, everybody's like, oh, you know, we're not going to do it naturally. What we're going to do is we're just going to enhance it. We're going to use, you know, we're going to cosmetically enhance or whatever it is. It's just, there's nothing. I just find that there's lack. Yes, that's correct. Synthetic. There's nothing natural about anything. One of the things that happened to me when I was in hospital and the doctor said to me, is there any way that I can keep you here to do further tests? And I was just like, no. I said, I live beachside. One of the things that is healing, is going to heal me, and it has started to heal me, is the fact that I get to get up, I get to walk across to the beach, I get to spend time on the sand, in the water, in sunlight. That is my natural healing process. My body had already started to heal. And this was coming from the radiologist after they had done some of my scans. And she said, it looks to me you're quite healthy. Your body has already taken over a healing process. So, which goes to show that your body is a machine. It's a miracle machine. It can heal. It just needs all the right ingredients.
Just needs a little help. And sometimes it needs nothing. Like you said, it just needs to rest. You just need to let it have a break. Because I've also been reading a lot about fasting, that when your body fasts, it's like... Because, you know, when you eat, you know, your body's working to digest all that food. And that is energy that it is being taken away from regeneration. So when you fast, your body is relieved of that energy to do what it needs to fix. Like, your body knows what needs to be fixed. It's like its own, you're even the doctor, you know, it knows where you need the regeneration. It knows where you need the healing, and it will do that when you're sleeping or, you know, obviously resting, and when you're not digesting. And so the longer you can, you know, stay away from all that eating, you will, you know, activate that healing. Also, I was listening, there was another woman saying that, you know, we didn't used to eat as much as we do now. We did not eat three meals a day. We ate maybe three times a week. You know, I mean, it was not as much as we eat.
we're constantly in a fed state. I think we might have touched over this in one of our other shows in regards to the hunter and gatherer. You know, we used to not eat all the time, right? We'd had to hunt mm-hmm. for our food, and we would have to, you know, and you would be eating small amounts of things. Like, you would be eating small amounts of maybe grain, small amounts of nuts, small amounts of whether you had any type of protein in small amounts. So we were never in a fed state. So there was no, those people back then never had things like cancer, didn't have all the issues that we have today. And it's that constant fed state that we're in that keeps us also sick. So the whole fasting, we're not saying don't eat. I mean, you can drink water. I 3 days I couldn't actually even eat. But what I did is keep myself hydrated. And another thing that's really good is if you have a type of broth, whether it's a chicken broth or a bone broth, just to keep your energy levels up, because you need your body needs proteins. It needs things to keep going. And you can not have food. You don't have to have food, but you do need to have some sort of liquid, whether water preferably, to keep you going. And, you know, in your body is good. It can heal. And, you know, sleep is fantastic as well. I've 2 days straight sleeping. You know, you wake up and you're like, you know, what's going on? Your whole outlook changes, because, you know, you're not stressed about anything. You just let your body do what it needs to do. And if you're tired, you know, take a break, have a rest. And I think these are the things that we don't normally look at until something happens and you go, oh yeah, I should have slowed down there. Or, you know, you ignore those signals. I know for me, during the end of the year, especially during the holiday period of Christmas, and that, it's just crazy, it's busy, and, you know, it's just one thing after another, and nobody really thinks, you know, to look after themselves at that point in time. Everyone just thinks, oh, go, 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 until you stop. You know, I was go, 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 until I completely stopped, and then it sort of gave you a wake-up call that you're not, you know, you're not just going to keep going. Like, at some stage, your body is just going to say to you, hey, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to stop you. You know, yeah. And that can be scary as well, because you would never think that, you know, you're thinking you're doing all the right things regardless, but maybe at some point, you know, your stress level has hit a high point. Your sleep patterns haven't been great. You haven't been breathing properly.
Maybe your posture is all off.
exactly. And next thing you know, you're hit with a health issue. So, you know, these are the things that we don't think about and we don't look at, because we're not actually listening to our bodies, and we're not feeding it what it needs as well. So that's another thing that we need to be more aware of.
The thing about eating.
Oh, go ahead.
So like, if my grandma was alive, she would be 101. And when I was a kid and I would stay with her for a few weeks in the summer, she was always very anti-snack. And we weren't a big snack family either. But when I would stay at her place, she would always call it piecing. Now, don't piece between meals. And, you know, what we know is that we do now live in a culture where people eat constantly all the time, and it's just grazing, grazing, grazing. And when I was in private practice, you know, I would get people who had issues with food, and they would report that they did not know when they were hungry because they were never hungry, because they were always constantly snacking. And I mean, you know, there are cultures that would have a completely opposite experience about hunger. But when you are never hungry, you don't know how much to eat, you don't know what your body wants, and you are likely not meeting any of your needs in the appropriate doses because you're just pacifying and distracting and satiating, but not in the way that your body needs. Like, nobody sleeps when they're tired, nobody drinks when they're thirsty, because, you know, we have the kinds of jobs and lifestyles and things where everything is deferred, deferred, deferred until, like you said, you just collapse because you can't do it anymore. Right. So the food is very interesting.
Yeah. Even, and again, going back to the elimination, you know, even, that was another thing that Barbara O'Neill was talking about, as far as, you know, we're so regulated, like, you know, you go to work and you can't take a poo when it's natural. You know, you gotta, like, whenever it's allowed, kind of like when you go to school, you know, you gotta raise your hand to go to the bathroom. And, and some people don't like to go to the bathroom at a public place. They hold it all day long until they get home so they can do it in peace, which, you know, that's got to do something to your process, I guess. That would make you uncomfortable all day at minimum, right? So we have weird, even though we do get signals, we don't always pay attention or take care of it when it needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, and we should. We're actually just, are we fitting into a society norm? And we, after the break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com, click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com, you're on Coast to Coast, Beachy, Master of None, and Verilicious. Yeah, so just in regards to that, like, we aren't listening to our bodies anymore. We are following what society expects us to do, or what, it's just a peer thing. You know, what do our peers doing? What do our peers think of us? Like, oh, you know, oh, dear me, I couldn't possibly go to the bathroom at this time or whatever like that. And then you wonder why we have gut health issues. We're having trouble down the track going to the toilet. We need to start taking medication again, you know. It's just crazy that, just the things that, you know, I just watching ads that came up on my feed the other day, and it was all about gut health, and it's like, can't poo, take this, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, what? that's a bit confronting, you know.
I was just gonna say, they have the grossest commercials now about, yeah, you know, oh, you know, all about what, how can I poop? How come, you know, it's like they're all, you know, trying to, they're constipated, and it's, yeah. And it's always a pill probably, you know, but you gotta laugh. I mean, I gotta
laugh. Exactly.
It's, yeah, I mean, a lot of times it's just the skip, you know, you just skip, it's in the middle of a presentation, so thankfully you get to skip it as soon as, you know, your penance is done. I mean, it's, You have to watch it though, yeah, because you gotta. You're in the middle of your whatever it is you're watching, and you gotta wait for it so you can click the skip button so you can continue on with the what you were watching. But it's just hilarious. Some of the things that come on.
One of the best books I would ever recommend. It's cheap. It's a super easy, enjoyable read, and it helps you get in touch with your bodily needs again. It focuses more on food, but it gets at everything. It can be used for everything. It's called The Overfed Head, and it is just phenomenal. I mean, it is just so good because anyone can understand it. It's just written in a really simple and engaging way. And it really helps people understand, am I hungry or am I just reaching to food because that's the most interesting, appealing, engaging thing, but really I need something else right now. And if it is food, what food is my body craving? Because one of the things people will do is they'll be like, maybe I want chips, maybe it's chocolate. And they just kind of work their way through every food and they've eaten all these calories, but nothing is actually satiated. So that is just a great book I'd recommend for anybody who feels like they're at a loss.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that sounds good. Because it's true. We are overfed with certain things. You know what I mean? It's like if I'm hungry and it's like, well, you know, I could probably just have some water to drink or something like that. You know, don't always think that it's a food thing, a food association that you need to like, because I'm just sitting and watching my favorite TV show. Oh, I'm going to go and grab myself a snack while I sit down and eat. You know, I've just had breakfast. Like I've just had lunch. So these are the things I think, you know, we talk about comfort, things that we do for comfort. And the pacifier, I think we've talked about things like digital pacifiers, but food can be a pacifier as well. Sitting,
or
just things in general. Like we have so many things that we're not looking into when it comes to looking after ourselves properly. And then, yeah, I think for me, the big wake up call with a lot of things, and it's like, well, is it, you know, with myself, it's like food, I can do food. It's, you know, that's probably relatively easy in that sense. And then it's sort of the environment that I'm in, you know, slowing down. Do I need to be doing that? Do I need to be thinking about, you know, things that I shouldn't be? I should be resting, or, you know, just little things like that. We can get caught up. And we can get caught up in so many things that don't even concern us, you know. It's like, don't watch the news. Don't get involved in anything that's going to, like, why are you agitated about what's going on somewhere else? And it's like, does it concern you? Probably not. But, you know, we want to rile people up anyway and have them get upset about something, and then once again it comes down to how are you sitting, how's your posture going, how's your breathing going. I mean, you know, you brought up some awesome things there, Beachy, in regards to that, because nobody even thinks about it. I mean, does anybody even associate the things with blood pressure? I mean, that's one of the things that I was told to look out for. It's like, just be mindful, like with yourself, like your blood pressure can rise and it could have an effect on you. And I'm like, it could probably. And if you combine it with stress and everything else, you know, it could be a perfect storm for a health problem. And then, you know, and then it goes away. So it's like, what can I do there? So I think the way society is designed, it's just, I don't know if it's just meant to keep us sick. And if we're away from the norm, you know, I mean, what's the norm these days? Well, the norm these days is what? Popping a pill, maybe?
The norm is something. If you go to the doctor, you ask the doctor, some stranger that, you know, sees you for 10 minutes and gives you a pill. But I think that's, again, you know, when you were talking about, oh, we're just going to get these things when we get old. I think it's like the, it's a snowball effect where, you know, you, I mean, I get these things all the time where they're telling me, oh, you haven't had your screening. You haven't had your physical. You haven't had your yearly doctor visit, you know, and it's like, yeah, because I, you know, why do I need to go to the doctor if I don't feel sick or anything? I'm just not going to go just for fun. I mean, who does that?
Yeah,
but they do. They have you go once a year. We want to see you for this or that, or, you know, and all they do is take tests or screenings, and they're going to find something. And then they give, you know, you start with one pill, and then that pill causes something else. And then you next thing you know, you're like, on 10
pills. You've become an addict.
And you're, that's going to make you old really quick.
And that's the thing is, you can refuse things, you know. You can refuse things and you can ask questions. And that's another thing too. It's like, I ask questions. It's like, what is in that? What do you want to give me? Why do I have to have that? What are you testing for? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to ask questions. It's my body, right? And yeah, I might have had, like, I've got something going on, but you guys can't find a cause. Then what am I doing here? You know, obviously at some point something triggered it and I'm obviously in the healing stage and it's great, but it's like, what else do you want to do? Do you want to keep me sick? Should I answer that question? Yes, you probably do. You know, and I just, I always question it. And like, I'm not rude about it either. I just want to ask. And it's like, well, if you're not finding this, what's this test for? What are you testing for now? Why am I doing this? Why can't you find that? It's like, oh, but you might have, this might be a thing. And how does that come about? Is it hereditary? Is it something that maybe over the years I've developed? Oh, no, we don't know, have those answers. Then why even suggest it? Because they have no answers.
Anything. And of course, all that hereditary stuff, you know, that came up this recently with a family member who, you know, I think he's in his 80s now. And, he's developed Parkinson's disease, and my sister was asking because the one sister that reported and the other sister was saying, well, isn't that what, you know, Uncle so-and-so had? And she was like, oh, I don't remember. And I do remember it. So I said, yeah, that was what, you know, Uncle so-and-so had as well. Oh, well, good. Now we know who, you know, he was trying to figure out where it came from, you know. So it's like, okay, now we're, you know, everybody's got to be in line now to get Parkinson's because, you know, it runs in the family.
You got to have the test now, yeah. it's total rubbish as well. And not everybody is the same. Like, you know, what works for you might not work for others, but it just, everybody's a little bit different. In that sense, it's like, oh, I didn't know you were sick. It's like, no, well, but why would you? It's like, I just carry on as normal because I refuse to lay down and let that kind of thing beat me. You know what I mean? It's like, obviously I'm looking at ways to doing things naturally, which is working. I can't take anything anyway, except for maybe the odd paracetamol, if that. But, you know, there's everything that I've been doing has been so good for me and the healing process that I've been going through. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, Beachy, going back through and listening to some of the shows we were doing on health in our earlier parts of our coast to coast, I applied a lot of those, you know, and including the light, including things with light. You know, I've since had my eyes tested and I'm short-sighted, but given what's been happening to me, I also need glasses that give me clarity, sort of like a blue blocker type as well that I need to wear, as well as like visual ones. But it's crazy, like the way that you can learn about light and when, like the sunlight especially. I was watching a YouTube, this gentleman was talking about the natural sunlight, like as when the sun rises, like from dawn, and then as the sun sets. And he goes, you only need, like, seriously, not even a minute. And he was saying how if you can look at that light, at the first light, it somehow penetrates through and somehow energizes you, you know. And for me, I'm glad that there was nothing wrong with me in my eyesight in general, like everything was fine. The only thing is obviously naturally, you know, as you get older, your vision, whether you can't read up close or you can't see far, that's going to happen. But other than that, that's been good. But, you know, the whole light thing was fantastic. I tested out those, you know, the rose-colored lens. I tried those. That was the best thing ever. I mean, talk about light, you know, and having light therapy and things like that. You know, all these things that we were talking about, I was doing all different things to see what was working for my body and to help me with my healing. And it was just, it was awesome. It was, you know, I'm actually glad that we went through all that sort of stuff, because it's something that I think, oh, you know, would it be something I would ever use? I know other people have been doing it. You know, it's just amazing. And just even with sound, like there was a point where I actually have to wear, I just put the noise cancellation headphones on, and just have to block out any noise, because it was messing with me. For some reason, it was like my equilibrium was, you know, I was so imbalanced in some way. And it was like, these are the best things. Like, I didn't think that I could use them in this way as well. So, you know, light therapy, sound therapy, just all those things we were looking at, we were talking about, I looked into heaps of that stuff, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing how quickly you can see how your body responds, whether it's negatively or positively to some of the things, and you go with obviously what's going to be more effective for you.
And the sunlight thing, what you're saying, it's free. I mean, you just got to get up in the morning and do it. I mean, I think that's the hardest part is, you know, the sunrise and the sunset, just making sure you hit those timelines.
Yeah, hitting the times. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they do have red light therapy, and I do have this book on this gentleman who did some study where he created these light fixtures. Basically, all he did was put, you know, regular old lights and put color filters in front of them to make like a, you know, just a lamp that you would sit under of various colors to help with various illnesses. I mean, it has this whole process, and it's quite involved in as to, you know, for what your issue is, as to how long you sit under it, for what day you sit, you know, for what it's like astrologically connected, like you have to, you know, do it when there's a full moon or when this planet is, you know, I mean, it's just kind of, it can get very involved. But I think, you know, a lot of people I've heard use red light therapy for a whole slew of things, and one of them is for eyesight. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are using the red light specifically. I haven't heard of anybody who's using all the other colors, but I at one point wanted to just create my own little, light sources and get the filters and, you know, play around with it and see how it worked just for my own, edification. But it's quite interesting, you know, like you said, light, all of it. So
Yeah, and it is good. And I found it interesting that information that you had sent through and you started talking about the whole breathing and stuff like that, because it is a big factor when it comes to a lot of things. Because I noticed that if, we are breathing from our mouths, we're not really breathing from our nose, because, I mean, in certain positions where you're just like sleeping and you're just basically snoring. And it's just like, and you like, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Like you just wake yourself up and you're just like, oh my, my neck hurts or my this and that. And it's just, you know, everything about your whole, you know, you don't even think about it, you know, and it's like, you know, and even that experiment that you were talking about in regards to blocking your nose and then just breathing through your mouth and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's full on. Like, I've even seen the machines that the sleep apnea people have to use. And it's like, well, could it just be that maybe they need to like zip the mouth shut and just like open up the airways in the nose? You know what I mean? Could that be a thing?
That's what I was just thinking is like, if you, cause like I remember, you know, some TV show where somebody was snoring and, you know, really loudly, and the woman just reached over and closed the guy's mouth, you know, and, you know, problem solved. So it's like, it could be as simple as that, but,
yeah.
You know, we have to sell, sell, you know,
yeah.
This is our culture anyway, that somebody always needs to make a buck off of it.
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to, unfortunately. But you know what, we have other information out there. It's in whether or not you want to source it. So Masterin, don't give us a thing about that book again, if you wanted to put it down. Sure. In our own notes on Truth Meets, that would be awesome. So if anyone wants to reference either via us or through Discord, they can. That would be good.
So you said it was.
Yeah.
What was the name of it?
It's called Overfed Head.
Overfed Head.
Yes. Yeah. And and this guy was a heavy guy for a long time, and he was raised in a family where it was all about the clean plate club and all that. And so as he moved into adulthood, he realized that, you know, he needed to start listening to his body's signals and not just clean his plate. And
after the break.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
What were you saying?
You can get it on Amazon. And it's not expensive and very short. And it really is a fun read. Like, he's a very nice, engaging guy. And I just loved it. And sometimes I read it just kind of for fun, because it really does remind you, you know, even if you're not having a food or a weight problem, it reminds you that your body is giving you the cues if you just listen.
Yeah. What did you say about this author? He was actually overweight himself, was he?
He was, yeah. He came from a family that enjoyed food, and they were, you know, if you're of a certain age, you lived in a family where it was like, children are starving in Africa, clean your plate. And, you know, he carried that into adulthood and just realized, oh my gosh, if I just eat everything, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to always be heavy. And yeah. I just love his story, and I think he still does like an online group or something. I haven't looked into that for a long time. But the book itself, I feel like it's timeless, and it truly is, of all the helpful books I've read in my life, it really is in like the top five for me.
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's, yay. Well, it's interesting, like, because people do change. I mean, over the years, you think of yourself, even me, like when I think, I mean, the heaviest I've ever gotten wasn't, to me, was, for me, I was overweight, but I wasn't
as such overweight, you know. But, you know, it's, and it is the whole fed state and just eating and just, it's crazy when you think about it. Like, everybody loves food, talks about food, everything revolves around food. And if it's not food, it's medication. What makes you on now? Everybody's on some sort of medication.
At some point, food is medication, I think. If you think about like what we were talking about, if you're bored, if you're feeling stressed, people always talk about stress eating, you know, and like you said, you know, we're told we got to do all these, we have to eat three times a day, you know, and it's noontime, time to eat.
Yeah.
And it's like Pavlov's dog.
It's programming. So, you think about our lives, we go back and when you think about a lot of things, you think about how are we programmed? You know, are we programmed in a certain way? We're taught a way, you know, we're just kept in a certain way. I always feel like that we are like the social experiment. For who? I don't know. But I feel like, you know, every time your eyes are open to something, you're like, oh my goodness, I feel like we've been experimented on. And that's not a joke. I just feel like there's always something going on. I mean, even the lights, the difference between an iridescent light and those lights that we have in the mall, you know, in the shopping centers and all that kind of stuff, the flicking, fluorescent lights, the flickering lights, you know, they're supposed to cause different things as well. D-Train showed me this guy had actually filmed those flickering lights in one of those stores. And what he did is he slowed it down or turned it up. I can't remember what he did, but you could actually see the flicker rate of the lights. And I thought, if someone didn't know that they had epilepsy or were prone to have any seizure, that would be one of the causes. So it's crazy that it's like, why would you do that? Why would you just put that, you know, somewhere? It's just, I don't know. It's hard for me. Do I get angry about it or just go, you know what? I'm just going to accept the fact that this is the times that we live in, and every stage of our life, there's something that's been going on. And the best we can do is maybe acknowledge that there are things out there, that are potentially health concerns for us, but we might need just to be aware of what they're going to be or what they are, and maybe do our best to do it naturally if we can get there.
Yeah. Redirect. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, we filled our heads, at least we fed our heads in a different way today. So that's good. It's something new to think about, something to experiment on. I mean, we could try all these things and, you know, see if it fits. And maybe at some point we'll come back and revisit and see if any of these things made a difference or if we can.
Yeah, or if we know someone has tried it and made a difference. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Yeah. Well, thank you, Beachy, Master of None. Nice to have you come on board with us. We love doing these little health kicks and, you know, just waking up. I think it's a good wake up call for ourselves as well when we come across some information and we want to share it. I think it's always good that we can
Do we have to say, and we are not, please do not take this as medical advice.
The disclaimer is, please do not take this as medical advice. This is just a conversation about
entertainment purposes only.
Yes. Entertainment purposes only. Yes. Go and get yourself that book. Go and have a read. You know, try not to be in a fed state. Breathe through your nose. Straighten. Walk straight. Get that posture upright.
Yeah, you know? And don't hang straight. Your head. Pick up your head.
Yeah. Pick your head up. Yeah. Apparently it weighs a ton. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
Okay,
and we will catch you next time on truthmeets.com. Beachy, you obviously have your shows. Your last one's been the water. About water,
remember
I think.
Remember who you are.
Yeah, remember who you are. Yeah. And, yeah, they're always good listening on truthmeets.com. But we'll catch you all next time. Until then, see you later.
Good night, all.
I can feel the magic floating in the air. Being with you gets me that way. I watch the sunlight dance across your face, and I've never been this swept away. All my thoughts just seem to settle on the breeze when I'm lying wrapped up in your arms. The whole world just fades away. The only thing I hear is the beating of your heart. Feel you breathe. Just breathe. In a way I know my heart is waking up as all come tumbling down. Closer than I've ever felt before, and I know, and you know, there's no need for words right now. Feel the magic flow.